Flies have a complicated half-life. Nora, for now, tried to calculate the lifespan of her most recent one as she waited on the corner of Tremont and Union Park, the evening's first snowflakes beginning to accumulate on her new, to her, black cashmere coat. Boston was new to her, too, with its treacherous weather and confusing streets and wary response to newcomers. They'd warned her, laughing, not to ask for directions. "You can't get there from here," people told her. Now, after just 3 weeks as a sales rep, she knew it was true. All of it. But this was the right corner, and Douglas had said he'd lived here for years, so she could rely on him for directions. Geographical, at least. The other directions, those he'd take from her. That was the plan. She could indeed get there from here. Douglas would arrive soon, and he'd be happy to brush the snowflakes from her shoulders, take her someplace private and scotch-infused. She closed her eyes with the rhythm of her process, with keeping her balance, not crossing a line. Behind her, a horn beeped. She turned, carefully casual. Nothing. She checked for surveillance cameras. None. A seemingly oblivious passerby pinged her inner alarm, but the guy with the backpack was too focused on his phone to be a threat. Someone following her, or watching her. The interior lights came on in a maybe Volvo parked half a block down the street. Nora eased slowly into the lee of the street light, keeping to the shadows. But it was just a mom, or nanny, extricating a baby from a car seat in the back. Nothing about Nora. "Nora? Ms. Quinn?" She whirled as the voice came from behind her. So much for her detective skills. "Douglas," she said, softening her face into Nora's face, relaxing her smile into Nora's welcoming smile, opening her arms like Nora did, establishing first names. But had she already failed? Douglas might notice her artifice, how she'd first flinched at his voice.
"Did I scare you?"
He came toward her, leaned to her, his breath puffing in the early evening chill.
"I couldn't wait to see you. Am I early?"
"Yes, you scare me," Nora wanted to tell him. "You're a monster." "Of course not, Doctor," she said, using his title on purpose, teasing, proving her admiration. She slid her hand through the bend of his elbow to avoid his clumsy attempt to kiss her. She was Nora. She'd be Nora. She had to stay Nora. A turning headlight grazed his face, then slipped past, leaving the memory of paisley and camel hair, of gray at the temples and Ivy League posture. Chin up, shoulders back, privilege confidently in place. Nora tried to match him stride for stride in her ridiculous but necessary suede heels, but she stumbled on a jagged shard of sidewalk. "Oh," she cried, suddenly precarious, grabbing his sleeve. A reflex, not a tactic. Her heels, inappropriately but deliberately too high, would be ruined.
"Gotcha."
Douglas caught her, collecting her with a paternal chuckle, preventing her from landing on the cold and gritty concrete below.
"Have you already started on wine?"
"No, silly." "Gotcha? Really?" Nora ignored his patronizing tone, then pivoted to cash in on her unintentional damsel in distress moment. "Oh no, look at that." She extended her bare leg from under her coat, pointed her toe so daintily and pretended to pout. Sometimes it was scary, honestly scary that this came to her so easily. "These poor little shoes are probably the worse for wear."
"Nice leg," Douglas said.
"You idiot," she thought. "Gotcha."
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.